Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Intuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour here. Felger and Maz. Big Jim Murray in for Maz. Getaway day. On an agenda-free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. We just continue with everything from the week. Anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's up to you. We've got Red Sox from the week. Red Sox-Yankees this weekend. Looking forward to watching David Price pitch on Sunday. I can tell you that much. You got the Bruins stuff related to John Tavares this week. That's still, you know, that shoe's waiting to drop this weekend. The Celtics stuff, obviously, all those latest NBA rumors. LeBron opts out today. What does that mean? I still don't really know. I guess it means he's not going to Houston. That's the only thing it's ruled out. So complicated. The NBA.
What it means really is that Dan Gilbert does not control where LeBron James goes.
LeBron controls where LeBron goes.
Yep. Well, duh.
But he can still return to Cleveland. He can still go to the Lakers. What?
Hey, this is breaking news for like Woj and those people.
But it does seem to rule out Houston. Right?
Paul George opts out. Breaking news. Hit the sounder. Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. Thank you.
Hey, so does it rule out the Celtics, too? Even though that was, look, it was a minuscule chance anyway, but considering that, you know, they would have to move around money and essentially have to do trades, like, doesn't LeBron opting out mean the Celtics are, there's no chance that they would ever have a, you know, that he would get.
5% chance of the Celtics.
Well, can LeBron still do a sign and trade? Can he still sign back with Cleveland and then be traded?
I believe those rights are done with.
So that's off the table.
Because then it would hard cap a team and you don't care about that detail.
Right. Boy, yeah, I don't want to hard cap a team. Yeah. It's the last thing I'd want to do is hard cap a team. I'm having too much fun with this soft cap with all these exceptions and rules. I think that's fascinating stuff. It's tremendous. It makes it so easy to follow.
Nicely you got there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's on the table. All this stuff. Edelman, I'm still saying, where's the Edelman news? That was on Monday. These things usually come down relatively quickly, you know, within a week. So maybe it's due for next week, but I still...
There's still time for a Friday news dump.
Exactly.
Where's the John Tavares news?
The Friday news dump's always in the back of my head. The John Tavares stuff, he was supposed to start notifying teams today who was out. That hasn't happened, so we're still waiting on all those things. Who knows? Maybe something happens in the final hour, but if not, it's just your calls. Unless Murray or Hook have a thought for the people of Boston to begin this hour.
Nah, I'm good.
Nope.
Okay, very good. Then right to you. As promised, Bob in Falmouth, what do you got?
Hi.
Hi, Bob. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say that Kyrie Irving trade is a smokescreen by Danny Ainge. Kyrie's going nowhere. He's going to stay, and so is Rozier. We're going to sign one of the two of them next year at the end of the season. Obviously, we have control over Hayward, and we have control over Tatum. Brown is going out of town, and we're going to get Kawhi Leonard.
They're going to trade
Jalen? Danny Ainge is playing it close to the vest. He's keeping everything back. He's going to add Marcus Smart or Marcus Morris and maybe even the Memphis pick, but we're going to get Kawhi here.
For Jaylen Brown.
Going to reset. What's that?
For Jaylen Brown.
For Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris and or Marcus Smart.
Okay. I don't care about those other pieces. Smart, I care about a little bit. Jimmy, why are you shaking your head? Why are you putting your head
They're
in
They're not
your
trading Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard.
Thank you, Jimmy. That's
Is that clear?
Yes, I hope so.
Did I stumble?
No.
Sean in Marlboro. Go ahead, Sean.
An alternative fact.
Hi, Sean.
Hey guys, really quick.
Yes.
Hayward in a sign and trade for LeBron. Someone actually did it, and it does work. But, Felger, the reason I'm calling, I called the other day. You bashed me on 3 points. I never asked for time. 2 quick points, and then let me get to my third. First, L.A. can't bring in 3 free agents and build a super team the way Golden State did. Golden State drafted all these guys that worked out, and then they signed 1 free agent. So that's a little different. Second, you bashed me on the taxes. If you sign a $200 million endorsement deal, 13.3% in California versus 0% in Florida or Texas or like 5% in Ohio, There's a big difference.
Then let me stop you there. Then why did LeBron found his entertainment company out in California? Why didn't he center it in Dallas?
Because business taxes and personal taxes. If you sign an endorsement deal, I think that's personal taxes, and that's actually a lot different than a business. So there is actually a difference between business and personal, which is an endorsement is most likely personal. So Ohio tax is probably 5 or 6% versus 13.3% in Ohio. So on a $200 million shoe deal, yeah, there's a big difference there.
Okay, what's your third point?
All right, so my third point, and Gasper was actually defending me on this. I said Ainge was in the perfect situation. I'm not a green teamer. I didn't say the Celtics were going to win a championship. I didn't say that Celtics were in the perfect situation. I said Ainge was in the perfect situation, and you bash me. Ainge has the free agent monkey off his back with Horford. He doesn't have to press to make a deal and make a mistake. It's an attractive location talent-wise. If Ainge does nothing, he still looks good. If Ainge makes any move, are you really going to question him at this point? So I just wanted to defend myself and say Ainge himself as a GM is in a good situation.
Sure he is. He's got all of you eaten out of the palm of his hand. One championship in 18 years and you think he can do no wrong. So yes, I'd love to be Danny Ainge. You kidding me?
Yeah, but even besides like the green team angle, which you're kind of mocking him there.
A little bit.
They are really in a good situation.
Of course
here.
They are. Of course they are.
This team, even if he does nothing, should be
they're
in contention for like the next 5 to 7 years.
They're going to contend either way. They're choosing between good situations. They're choosing between great and more great.
And whether or not they want to try to expedite it.
Yes. So they're in a terrific spot. Of course they're in a terrific spot. Who would say they're not? In terms of the Lakers being able to add all three, I don't know if they can. I do know ESPN wrote a story weeks ago that went through all of these insane permutations and said they could. It had to go in a certain order. Kawhi had to come first. And then blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to give you blah, 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 but go read the story, Sean and Marbo. It's up on ESPN, how they can get all three this year. Taxes. Someone choosing one team over another because of the state income tax. Have you ever, we all think about it. We all talk about it. Have you ever heard anyone say, actually, yep, I chose the Tampa Bay Lightning because Florida has no state income tax?
I think Dwight Howard did it for when he went to the Rockets.
Okay, that loser, maybe.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like, yeah, he would, but... Like, anyone worth their salt, anyone worth anything, have you ever heard them say, I was going to go to the Yankees and contend, but I didn't like the New York State income tax rate, so I decided to go to the Texas Rangers. I wanted to go to a red state and their taxes.
That should never really be a factor.
I
think that's so overhyped.
It's real money. I get it.
Find a good accountant. They know the loopholes.
Right, dude. But do they really... Who has really made up their mind based on that?
An a-hole like Dwight Howard. That would make sense.
No, obviously no one would admit it because you sound like an a-hole to say, I'll go to a worse team or a dump of a city. I'll move to Texas just because I want to save 5% on my state income tax. Like, you sound like a tool. So maybe no one says it because they know how it sounds. But I don't know. So they've put out the Tavares calculator. Like, is he really going to choose one city over the next because of a state income tax or the taxes in Canada versus don't tell me that's what's going to happen, Sean. So those are those three points. Right back at you, pal. Steve in Reading has a PED question for us. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, on the PEDs, supposedly on the serious injuries, they bring you back quicker. If that's the case, isn't it worth taking the PEDs and the possibility of a 4-month suspension, knowing that you're going to get back quicker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You bet. If you can handle a hit to your reputation, and most of these guys can, yep. Has it hurt Rodney Harrison one bit in his life?
No.
In his post-playing life? The only thing that hurt him is that he had to stop taking it, and he became less of a player. That was the problem, but... He's one of the faces of the league. He's on national TV every week as one of the lead commentators for the entire league, and he was dirty. Did it impact him one bit? And so, if you can come back, if Ronnie hadn't gotten caught and it helped him get back quicker and be the player that he was, yeah, all worth it.
No, anyone that's normal doesn't give a rat's ass about this, and nor should you. The only people that seem to still get their back up about PEDs are the baseball
guys. That's right.
Precious game.
The old baseball guys. Tom in Hyannis on John Tavares. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I want to know where you guys get the gall every year to try to trade Dave Krejci. The guy doesn't have anybody to play with every year, and he gets a new rookie, seems like, every 2 months. And, Tavares makes the team better, but know, you want to get rid of Krejci because of this big contract, but the guy's got nobody to play with. You give him someone to play with, and finally he's the superstar everybody wants. So
I don't think anymore. And thanks for the call. Krejci has not played with the greatest line mates. It's true. It's sort of a revolving door and da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, I agree with that. Except he's not the same player. He's not. I'm sorry. He's just not. And he used to make guys that he played with better.
But ever since the hip injury, he's not a shell of himself, but he's just not what he was a few years ago.
Or 32, age, the hip, whatever. I don't think, you know, he used to make guys better. I don't feel like he made Jake DeBrusk better. I think Jake DeBrusk came on, had a nice year, but it's not like, because he was getting set up and set up and set up by David Krejci. And he did nothing with Nash. That didn't work. And so and Nash sucked. So I'm not blaming Krejci for Nash sucking. But it's like, how long are we going to chase this wing next to Krejci when nothing's really worked there in years? He has 7.25. He's the highest paid player on your team. He's not worth it. And the arrow's pointed down. I'm moving on from Krejci, whether I get Tavares or not. Ben in Attleboro has a basketball thought for us. Hi, Ben.
Guys, people are saying if LeBron goes to the West, it's going to ruin the NBA. All the talent's going to be in the West, but can you imagine a Celtics versus Lakers, LeBron versus Kyrie final? How great would that be for the NBA?
So good. So good. I mean, the Lakers being good is good for the league. It just is.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the marquee franchises in that sport, of all sports.
And just LeBron going there is just such, boy, that's such juice. And, yep, so maybe the real NBA finals will be the Western Conference finals as opposed to NBA finals. What's the diff? I don't know. Did the league really benefit from the last couple finals?
No.
The big LeBron matchup, you know, five games
what
and four
a chore
games.
It was to have to watch this thing this time around.
Like, I mean, really? Like, what did they really gain out of that at the end of the day? What did they really gain out of that?
The Sixers are going to continue to be good competition. Granted, that's only one team I can come up with in the East, but, you know, Celtics Sixers will be entertaining here for the next handful of years.
Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com continues right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, because if I feel like it'll help our team, we explore every trade of players of certain magnitude or, you know, superstar, first ballot Hall of Fame type of players. We're going to take a look and kick the tires and see if there's something there. But that's all.
If you were to
I think those things are unlikely.
Well, that's Danny Ainge today. Gaspard, interesting take. Danny's just playing it cool. He's playing poker. He's actually involved, heavily involved. He's just doing the Danny Ainge thing. Basically, you know, all these questions about Kawhi Leonard, they're legit. His health, flight risk, all those things. They existed at the trade deadline, and the Celtics went after him. So
that's a good point.
Right?
I'm just lying in the weeds here.
So is that Danny just playing it cool? Yeah, I mean, if it's a Hall of Famer, we're going to take a look at the guy. We'll take a look. But I don't think those things are likely. So that was one quote. He had another part where he said, we don't really have a need. We have really good players. We need to surround them with role players with the rest of our roster that have a chance to win. I guess that sounds like what you want them to do, Murray, just role players.
Yeah, because I think that this team is good enough, maybe not next year, but the year after, to win a championship. Hell, maybe even this year, because if they had Kyrie in this series in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers, they probably win it in five or six games. And then you absolutely have a more competitive finals than the Cavs gave them. Please. Like, I think there's not much to be done with this team in terms of tweaking. You're getting Gordon Hayward back, who played all of 6 minutes for them last year. You're getting Kyrie Irving back as well. Like, this team's pretty much stacked. They're the best team in the East.
All right, Agenda Free Friday continues. Everything on the table. Mike in the car with a thought on the Sox-Yankees this weekend. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, they got to win two out of three this weekend, and the two black eyes they've had so far, base running and the bullpen, right? The base running stuff has not been as bad of late. Hopefully it's not bad this series. The biggest concern they're going to have, I think their starters can get them six innings. They got to get through the seventh and eighth, and to Jimmy's point before, or Murray's point, sorry, they might have to deal without using Kimbrel in the ninth. How are they going to be able to do that? This is the time for those guys to step up. They're in New York. They're in hostile territory. It's time for them to show that they can actually do this and they can face the Yankees, who have a great lineup.
All right, so you're saying...
the last comment is, look, somebody get Stu a slice of pizza because his comments are much better when he's eating.
It's true. But the bullpen, I raised it with McCarthy yesterday, and it was a good point. It's like, so what if Barnes and Kelly start to get people out? You have faith in them? Because that's the last remaining thing on the team. And the question back was, are you ever going to have faith in Joe Kelly or Matt Barnes or Heath Embry? And the answer was no. Is there anything they could do in June, July that's going to make you feel good about them in October? And the answer is no. It's true. It's no. So they're kind of port there in the bullpen, and this to me is the story, Hook. They have nothing to do to get better. Their system's cashed, and they're tied up against the cap. They're worried about the cap, or the tax, rather. So it's like, you don't have anything to deal, and you don't want to add any money, so how are you going to add a real eighth-inning arm?
It's true, because to get somebody who's good and cheap, you have to give up something of value, right? They don't have that piece of value. To get somebody expensive, that's what you can give up nothing for, but they don't have the room to add that person.
Or they don't want to. Now, if they're willing to go deep into the tax, maybe we're talking about something else. But they're, you know, to this point, they've been reluctant to do it. I mean, to me, I think one guy is Jackie Bradley. He is. I mean,
if he continues to hit, you can sucker someone into taking
him. If you can sucker someone into thinking that he's a good everyday ball player, which he's not, but if you can, you know, if someone in the National League, a mediocre National League team that has some bullpen arms, that to me feels like, I mean, what I'm driving at is I think it has to come off your Major League roster.
Yeah.
Because what do you have in your system to trade of anything of value?
No, it feels like nothing. It's barren there.
How much is Eduardo Nunez making this year? Is he making enough to make
know.
A difference?
Good question.
Yeah, but he's been useless.
It's millions of dollars.
Exactly.
I know, but
defensively and at the plate. So I don't know what the hell you're going to get in return for him. I know. They're a really good team. 55 wins. On pace for 108. Maybe the best Red Sox team ever. But yeah, I got to put an asterisk next to it because I don't know how you look at that bullpen and feel good
about
this team.
We have another asterisk.
Just a little one. Not a Bridgie-sized asterisk where this team is just going to let you down because this is a paper tiger here and you're all way too in love with Isaiah Thomas and this team. Bit of a fraud. And then Danny blew it up. And who was right? Me. This Red Sox team, small asterisk. They're good. And J.D. Martinez has been the difference maker. But the bullpen stinks, and it's a massive red flag, night in, night out. It was again last night, too. Hey, all right, we swept the Angels again. Joe Kelly got bailed out by Andrew Benintendi, who made a ridiculous catch, and he was doing everything in his power to try to gag it up again. There's nobody you can trust in this bullpen.
And where I thought you were going when you said they have no way of getting better is there anyone that they could add to this team? Just ignore the money and the picks and all, or the what they'd have to give up that would make you feel better about them in October.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, regular season, they're doing fine. Like, they're one of the best teams out there. They're going to win tons of games. What's going to make them better in October?
A legit, real bullpen arm. And, you know, who's the closer in San Diego, Jimmy? I forget his name.
Mr. Brad Hand.
Yeah, Brad Hand.
Mr. Hand. That's
Mr.
right.
Hand.
Mr. Hand. Stud.
Yeah, but what postseason record does he have?
Oh, I guess he doesn't have one. But if you add a real arm like that and make him your eighth inning guy, well, then I look at you totally differently.
Yeah, except you still got David Price going out of your second spot.
But
you still
on.
Got Chris Sale. You still got these guys.
Also, look.
Well, Chris Sale, I think, gets a bit of a bum rap. He's got like one start and one
right.
So that's fine. But you still have David Price there in the second spot.
You know, I'm just going to have faith that eventually the starting pitching is going to pitch as well in the postseason as they do the regular season. You have the talent up there. Like, to me, the starting pitching is the starting pitching. It's up to them to produce. But if they have the bullpen, if they had a real bullpen guy in the eighth inning, then you have to look at the team differently. Now, they don't have anything close to enough to get Mr. Hand, unless they want to.
Well, the ask was reportedly Rafael Devers,
yeah,
which is too high. And look, I'm with you, too. Like, I don't know. Look, the guy's obviously had no postseason experience, but from everything that I've read about him, he's dominant. I would feel better having Mr. Hand in the eighth inning rather than whoever it is when you spin the wheel of gutless bugs.
Exactly. So, yes.
It's less of a worry. Right now, the bullpen's a massive worry.
That's how I would feel different about the team, Hook. You wouldn't?
I just believe that too much of the team is still this unproven, yes, we'll play well in the regular season and do absolutely nothing in the postseason. Like, you can go get Brad Hand. We don't know anything about Brad Hand in the postseason. I don't know. Maybe you talk about Rafael Devers. It occurs to me that the Texas Rangers are looking to unload their very established third baseman, and they've got a young closer in Keona Kila, who they're also looking at maybe getting rid of. So maybe Rafael Devers does something with the Rangers. They keep the money, and then you get a veteran guy with a real good bullpen arm. Maybe that's something that works. But in the end, there's just too much of this team that has no postseason resume for me to feel good about them into October. Or not even good, but just confident in October.
Fair enough. I mean, I can't blame you for that. But I do find interesting, though, is that, you know, this discussion of how they do it, fill those gaps, it has to come off your major league roster. We're talking Devers, we're talking Jackie Bradley, we're talking those kind of guys. That's the only way they're going to get it done because their system is cashed. Ken in Vermont's been holding. Thanks for hanging on. Ken, what do you got on the Celtics?
Well, they're going after, they might go after LeBron and Leonard, and they don't need either one of them. LeBron is nothing but an egotistical jerk.
So you wouldn't want him on the Celtics, Ken? You would not take LeBron James on the Celtics?
No, I think they would do. He would do more harm in tearing that team apart than he would help.
Hmm.
Because he said they lost the finals because he didn't have no talent around him.
Well, they didn't.
They didn't.
Well, but you don't say that to your players. You try to work with them and you try to encourage them instead of running them down.
Yeah.
And as far as Leonard, all he does is sit there and cry and just complain. You know, they've got a good nucleus. I think they're on their way out. Just leave them where they are.
Okay, well, that's Murray.
Well, I mean, it's guys like that that, you know, this is why I want LeBron James, just
right,
a spike
exactly.
Gentleman like that.
Exactly.
You know? He's too egotistical. That's every player in the NBA. That's every superstar in the NBA.
James in the car on John Tavares. Yes, James.
Hey, maybe it's been a long week, but every time Jimmy Stewart pipes in, I just want to bash my head through a wall. I try to get that
every
out there.
Time you call in, I feel the same way.
Oh, fantastic.
Go to Guitar Center and get your own microphone and a podcast. How's that?
Oh, yeah, everyone has podcasts. I'll figure it out. Anyway, what I want to get out there, if Tavares doesn't come, which I don't think is likely, you know, the free agent market for defensemen is pretty slim, but, you know, maybe they should be honing in on, you know, a guy with, like, Carlson, who has 1 year on his contract, the market might be good for him, you know, trade Krejci or even Krug and try to get a top four defenseman. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so if I could get Erik Karlsson for Krug and Krejci, I'd do it yesterday. I don't think Ottawa's doing that. They're not doing it for a guy who's...
I mean, they're blowing it up, it feels like, but I don't think they're going to blow it up that bad.
They're not replacing Karlsson with Krug and then going, you know, trading for a 32-year-old center with a bad hip who has gone downhill each of the last 3 or 4 years. I don't think that's going to get it done. But if it does, then I would throw a parade for Don Sweeney, and I would do it yesterday.
What a great caller. So glad we took that 30 seconds of our life.
John in Springfield has another hockey thought. Hi, John.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm just wondering what, you know, I mean, Don Sweeney needs to get some big free agent in here. I mean, he blew it with Backes. He blew it at the postseason with Nash. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be Tavares, but I mean, this guy has 22 draft picks from 15 through 18, and only three of them made the NHL, and Carlo DeBrusk and who was the other one there? Carlo DeBrusk and someone else. And in 2014, Shirelli drafted, let me just tell you right now, 2014, Pastrnak, Donato, Heinen, and Bjork.
Yes, that's right.
So in 3 years, Sweeney only has three people that made the NHL. And in 2014 year alone, Shirelli had four. I mean, when are we going to start saying Don Sweeney is not doing a good job?
Well, not yet, because I think that those draft picks, usually in hockey, unless you're drafting, I don't know, in the top three, usually take longer. So I feel like I think Sweeney's done a good job with the system.
The man can draft.
I mean, I feel like it has, but he's saying only three guys have played, and he couldn't even come up with the third. Was it Donato? I mean, like I when you say Shirelli, yes, Shirelli was still here. He changed his scouting director. Sort of a transitional that 14 draft was sort of a transitional thing between Shirelli and Sweeney when they changed their scouting directors. But either way, I don't know. McAvoy, maybe that was the third guy you were talking about. Or did he say McAvoy? McAvoy, DeBrusk, Donato, Anders Bjork, Heinen, whatever. And then they've got other guys coming. I feel like they've drafted well. But
yeah, they've drafted well. His moves at the pro level, like trades, your Lee Stepniaks, your Zach Rinaldos, your, you know, bringing in David Backes for the contract that he got. Look, I can understand why people are, you know, they don't trust him at that level. You can't possibly screw up with John Tavares, though.
No, so what I think they might be in line for, and it, mostly free agency doesn't work, caller. So just, you know, it doesn't work for a lot of teams. They're going to have to make a trade at some point. They have all those forwards down there that they've drafted. And, you know, you can't just, you just can't keep picking forwards and forwards and how you have all these guys stockpiled down in Providence. At some point, you're going to have to package some and accelerate it or move on from some because you can't play them all and keep them all. And he's going to have to make some choices there, I think. I think that's coming down the pike.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta?
Junta.
Junta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
David, looking forward to Sunday night at the stadium. That challenge?
I don't think I'll be able to go, so I don't think so.
Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm happy when fans say we hate you, David. I know I'll never be celebrated. I'm only happy when it rains. I know you root for me to pitch real bad. Your hate's the thing that makes me feel glad. I'm only happy when it rains. They hate me, Astro. Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. I just want to play Fortnite. In fact, let me start it up right now. All right, let's get online.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Now I'm not sad. Yeah, I get that minigun. Watch me mow down all these bitches and earn me some V-Bucks. I'm going to get that money and buy me some new skins. So much fun.
Oh, God, the baby.
No, keep going.
Maybe
for 4 hours.
Yeah, I'll get back on. So you don't have to twist my arm. I love playing. Oh, this is so much fun. Oh, hey, you, Benny, jump on here, bro, and help me 86 these clowns. I'm sitting here racking up kills like a mofo. JBJ, eyes to the sky, my dude. These bitches are launching. Switch up your weapon and grab a shotty to spray them. So much fun. Yo, Kimbrel. How are you on that, man? You share any breaks or some wood? I need to build a run low over here, fam. Come on!
So that was something we're looking forward to Sunday night.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait.
So you root for the Yankees on that one?
I root for the Red Sox to win a 9-8 game. I want David Price to get his face ripped off, be out in the first few innings. So, you know. Content, and look, I'm no fan of the player. I'm out on him now because it's just nonstop bitching and complaining. So I root for the Red Sox to win, but for David Price to look like a fool. I have no shame in saying that.
So he could show you something if he comes back and pitches well in this game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shove it right in my face and any other doubter. Go out there and out-duel Luis Severino, who is arguably the best pitcher in baseball this year.
Sunday Night Baseball, everyone watching, et cetera, et cetera. That would show me something.
Bright lights. Big city.
What do you think?
Tough competition.
What do you think?
He's going to get his face ripped off every single time he goes up against this team. As of late, are you going to tap out again? What's it going to be? Oh, is your hand going to go numb again? I just don't see it.
Okay, here's one thing we have not hit on yet today that we wanted to. And if you follow the show, you know that we have invested in the heavyweight division in boxing. And we've become quite fans of Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, the American undefeated partial heavyweight champion, who has been chasing... who is considered probably more of the heavyweight champion of the world, Anthony Joshua, a Brit. They're both undefeated. Wilder's like 40-0. Joshua's like 24-0. They're all by knockout. Both of them are like 90% knockout, 95% knockouts. So they're entertaining fighters. This Deontay Wilder is an entertaining guy like you read about. He's been chasing Joshua. Joshua's ducking him. Finally, it was reported a couple weeks ago that the fight's on. Until it wasn't. It was revealed Tuesday that Joshua will actually face a mandatory WBA challenger, Alexander Povetkin, first, so as not to be stripped of the belt. So he doesn't want to be stripped of the belt. Like, who cares? People just want the fight. They want the promotion. And people that... Hook.
Yeah.
What are the governing bodies of boxing right now? Do you know?
WBA.
I think that still exists. What else?
That's all I got.
Yeah, right, exactly. No one even knows anymore. There's like eight of them.
It's stupid sport.
It's stupid. Like, who cares about WBC, WBA? Like, those things don't really matter to the public anymore. So, but anyway, Joshua, claiming he doesn't want to lose the belt, is fighting Povetkin first, which did not make Deontay Wilder happy. I wish I had sound of it, but I guess this is all from Twitter.
It is, yeah.
I'm reading from the New York Post story here. Wilder reacted to the news by calling Joshua a... P word. I think I can say it.
Nah.
No?
It's in the handbook. You cannot.
Yeah. Jimmy gets mad about that one. Kitty?
He called Joshua a P word and a coward and insisted that he'd agreed to deal to a fight to fight the English champion. Wilder took to his social media late Tuesday night, tweeting, "I knew I smelt blank, but damn, Anthony Joshua, I didn't know the odor was that strong, you coward-ass bitch." Which I don't know about you, Hook. I think it's strong. I think that's strong to quite strong.
A little strong.
I didn't know... Hold on. It's such a good line.
I know.
I knew I smelt blank, but damn, Anthony Joshua, I didn't know the odor was that strong, you coward-ass bitch. Now, that to me is a guy worth getting behind. I do get behind Deontay Wilder. I love this guy.
Any of the clips we've played, I've watched none of these fights, just clips. But just seeing the clips and hearing this guy talk, I'm in. I want to see this fight, and now it's not going to happen again. Boxing can't get out of its own way.
So hopefully Joshua wins this fight. Hopefully we still get Wilder. Hopefully it's not too late. Hopefully they don't let the whole thing peter out. Like Pacquiao Mayweather. We're circling each other for years and years and years. It's a fight that should have happened for years and years and years. It doesn't happen until the very end when they're both done and the fight sucked and it wasn't worth it. It's like, well, what are you doing? You've only got the whole sport has like less than a handful really marketable guys. Two of them are ready to fight each other or should be fighting each other and they don't their whole careers. Like you explained that to me. And now, And those are the smaller weight. I mean, those are the lower weight classes, which aren't as important as the heavyweights. This is why boxing's dead, because there's no heavyweights. But now they have them. And you still haven't watched the Wilder fight?
No, I've just watched the clips.
Watch him. Watch a whole fight. He's really not that great of a fighter. He's wild. He's all over the place. But it leads to very entertaining fights. Guys are always going down. Again, I think he's 40-0 with 38 knockouts or 39 knockouts. And Joshua's 24-0 with 22 knockouts. So it's not like we're watching some fight with the guys are pointing each other, except for Joshua's last fight, which unfortunately was an absolute snooze fest that went to the cards. But either way, I guess his fight's not happening now, so we still got to wait.
What a great tweet, though.
Oh.
I knew I smelt, but damn, at Anthony F. Joshua, I didn't know the order was that strong, you coward-ass bitch.
That is no beating around the bush there. Yeah,
that's that smell of low tide on Lynn Shore Drive. I know it well. I lived over there for a while.
We'll wrap it up with your phone calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Rick in Connecticut has something for us on an Agenda Free. What is it, Rick?
Hey, Mike. Sorry I'm taking a different direction, and I hope I don't waste your time, but I got to get this off my chest. The Midday Show was talking about athletes playing in golf tournaments, referring to Steph Curry and Tony Romo, and they were making fun of John Smoltz for playing in the U.S. Senior Open. The difference is John Smoltz had to qualify just like a couple thousand other people tried to do and didn't. So I think there's a big difference there when you qualify for a tournament or just get a special invite because you're an athlete. That's all I have to say. Hardy really pissed me off today. That's all.
Okay, thanks. Fair enough. You want to call them, though, 10 to 2 every weekday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, a fine program. They'll take your call at 617-779-0985. So they were mocking Smoltz as saying, like, you know, there's a lot of these guys who think they can just waltz onto the tour, and they don't realize it's a different sport when you're on the tour, even at the senior level. And this proves that Smoltz was like 15 over after the first day or something like that. Having to qualify, though, is something.
Yeah.
I could give two poops.
Agreed.
Mike and Woburn got a hockey thought for us heading into the weekend. What is it, Mike?
Hey, just heard you discussing Sweeney and his performance. I think there's one thing that we consistently leave out when we're factoring it in, and I did. I was all over the guy at the beginning, and in retrospect, I think I needed to have a little lighter touch when judging him because he had to deal with an owner that was demanding a quote deep playoff run when the team was in shambles cap wise and talent wise. So as an incoming GM, you're usually allowed a one and a half, two-year grace period to sort of fix things the way you would like them. Before you are expected to contend. That was not given, luxury was not given to Sweeney and Neely. They had to basically turn that team around, and it was playoffs or bust right from the get-go. So some of these moves, like signing Bolesky immediately, signing Backes, I feel were...
Jacobs.
Jake, absolutely. These were I need people in the seats moves. I need a couple rounds of playoff revenue moves when... You know, get Sweeney given his druthers probably would have done something different. I really think that needs to be factored in. And Did someone actually come on and try to say Peter Chiarelli was good at drafting?
No, but he pointed to the 2014 draft, which was...
Yes, and which I will point out that Peter Chiarelli basically kidnapped the average one, Keith Gretzky, as soon as he could and took him out to Edmonton. So he did not repeat the same drafting record that he had here from 2007 to 2013.
So, but the 14 draft was a tremendous draft, and Sweeney is still waiting for his. Again, 14, they drafted Pasternak, Donato, Heinen, Bjork. They only drafted five guys, but those were Pasternak in the first, Ryan Donato in the second, Danton Heinen in the fourth, Anders Bjork in the fifth. Like, that's nice, because I think all four of those guys are going to be NHL players. The 2015 draft is really one that they had three in the first, three in the second. Jacobs Borrell, Jake DeBrusk, Sinishin, Carlo, Forsbacka Carlson, and Lawson, the defenseman. Two of those guys have made it. Two of the six? Don't you need a little bit more than that?
Yeah.
So I think it's fair enough to say that Sweeney needs a couple more guys to come through from the draft before we say, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. The guy's a great drafter. I mean, it's close. I like it, but need a little more. Just a little more.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The final word being brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices tires. Nobody. Go to Town Fair Tire because who?
Nobody.
Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Marshall.
Nobody.
Marshall.
Yes, thank you. Marshall. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, it's it's a Friday in the summertime. We can tell there's a dog in the studio. It's always a good sign. And that means it's a best of time of year. And we're going to start with a squeaky Maz on one of his favorite NBA players, one Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. What are the chances?
Whee! We got an interview! Yeah, we gotta sit down with Durant. We can sit down. Let's have a parade. So now it's good enough to just have the sit down. Terrific. Awesome.
What are the odds? What are the chances?
He'll talk to us! Oh my God! You know, it's the equivalent of a loser in high school who says, ooh, the hot chick just said hello to me. Ooh, I think she likes me. Maybe I'll ask her out.
You don't think that's a little bit of a positive, though?
Yay! I'll get excited when he comes. Okay? I'll get excited when he comes. I'll be getting real excited when he comes. He'll talk to us. I'll be getting real excited when he comes. Whee! We got an interview. Woo-hoo! I don't care about your sit down, but I'll be the first to sit down because I'll be really excited when he comes. Oh, we're so special.
It's Miami. It's Golden State Warriors. It's the...
Sitting down with him doesn't mean jack. Terrific. We got to sit down and have lunch together. Let me know what he eats for lunch. I'd be curious. Or you know, whether he eats at all. Let's get all geeked up and let it out of our pants. For the fact that we actually get to sit at the same table and talk. Until he puts the name on the contract, I couldn't give two craps whether he's just, you know, agreed to talk to them. Woo-hoo! He's talking to us!
I bet Maz can actually give a whole lot of craps right now, what with his colonoscopy.
No question. He's giving a tremendous amount of crap.
Yes.
All right. Well,
let's go, Hook. Next one. Yeah.
Chop, chop.
Pay attention.
I'm fine over here, boys. This is my section.
No, but
we move
at a certain pace, which is urgent.
Why? Because you don't like podcasts? Is that why?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to hear here. You and podcasts.
Brady invites him out to his whatever he's got going on in Montana
compound,
and they do a two-hour sit-down on a podcast. And I've got a whole thing about podcasts that I may or may not share with you. How I feel about the podcast in general as a genre, but be that as it may. So I mean, let me just say,
I can't do podcasts. I don't do podcasts. I don't like podcasts. I don't like them. They're not for me. There's just too much time. There's not enough urgency. I feel there's too much dawdling. There's too much d***ing around because you can't d*** around because there's no commercial breaks. I like commercial sports talk radio. You got to get in. You got to get out. You got to get your point out. And when you're on a podcast, you're sort of dawdling around and d***ing around. I don't like podcasting. I don't like Twitter or podcasts, which means I am porked, man, especially when we get bought from across the street. That's me and LJ on the weekends. I know it.
Your weekend show is going to be the pessimist and the preacher.
So does that mean I have to work with Craig?
Yes.
The teacher and the screecher.
God, I hate the podcast.
I'm going to start one.
I'm mostly with you. I like three.
Oh, there's just...
Every time someone recommends one to me, it's just...
They're so deliberate.
Before I even start listening, I'm like, an hour 45?
What are we doing? And so they have all that time and they spend it all... scratching each other's ass.
Just in these last couple of weeks, having to go through some of the Bill Simmons ones, so we can get some of that Kyrie audio.
Do you really think Kyrie,
I don't like the sound quality. I don't like the pacing. I don't like the tempo.
Not mine. It is 30 minutes. We are in. We are out. Topic to topic.
You know, for the record, I love Jimmy's.
I'm sorry. What is your
Matt McCarthy again, does the most here.
The most listened to original content podcast on Beasley, the entire corporation. What is it, Jimmy?
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Okay. He gets in. He gets out. There's urgency there. It's not your normal podcast.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.